Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Good evening and welcome to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. We're live, actually here, physically live, October 11th it is, 2007. Where the heck did the summer and early fall go? It's just like racing along. I'm Nicole Whitney, by the way, your host. Life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to get explained is what we're doing today. Now, if you miss any of the show, or if you had a question that you sent in that will be answered during the show, you can hear this again later at our free archives online, indefinitely, newsforthesoul.com. That's where you go later, but not now. Today, we have a special guest back. He's one of our regular guests, one of our special guests. He's someone who came to us through Satya and Raja, who's one of our also regular special guests over many years on News for the Soul. And he has this way of finding people that are kind of unsuspectingly deeply awakened. And Aha is here. He's one of the friends of Satyan who's just for that, and he's going to be taking your questions today that we had put out an email for you to send in your questions. He's going to be answering them. And God only knows what else right here, right now. Aha, welcome back to the show.
Well, greetings from the other side of the theater.
Greetings. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk, and how are you?
Well, it's been a pretty busy time for me. I have just different work vacations coming up in Calgary and came from Seattle, and it's been an excellent full time this summer, and we're looking forward to the rest of fall.
Interesting. Work vacations, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just the magical retirements where you drop out of your everyday existence of concern and work with fresh energies that aren't really fresh. They're ancient and ever-present with us wherever we go, but to our way of experiencing life in this order, when you go someplace else, there is a short period of time, which it all feels new anyway.
Did you talk like this when you were 8?
Well, I mean, if you were around, I would have. But I don't know if you would have evoked the response in me when you were 8. That's wild.
Probably not. Well, who knows? You never know. So let's talk about what we're going to do today a little bit as far as how this is working. We originally put out an email opening the doors for questions about kind of an, I guess how I worded it really was the meaning of life. What we got in abundance was kind of reading questions, but we do have a few questions that go beyond that. So I'm going to do mix and match, but...
any way in which you like.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, kind of like life, whatever. And whatever gets thrown at the wall. And
well, I mean, it's like, truthfully, we are all made up of the same light energy, and we all have the same being. And so the only chance for us to know ourselves as one is in the timing we keep and the order in which we appear from one place to another. It's the only place we can lay claim to any kind of uniqueness about us, because when it comes to our essence, both in form and in the invisible, we are the same beings, you and I, and the extension of ears and eyes out into infinity.
So, what is your definition of what the meaning of life is in general? Let's start there.
Well, I mean, meaning is really an extension of one's intent. Just how it is that you're going to exchange your presence with the behavior of the world around you. What are you going to do to occupy yourself during the day? It's out of our existential contingencies that the context for meaning comes arising. And so the meaning of life in terms of its essence then is all relationship, how each individual center is arising within its own field. And its very ideas of what it is and how it can respond to the environment is fed into it by the field around. Every which way you look, you get a different suggestion if you're the one who's asleep. Hypnotized. If you're hypnotized, everywhere you look, you get a suggestion. If you are awake, then whenever you look at anything, it doesn't say anything. It's like that old Zen saying, the wild geese do not intend to cast a reflection on the water. And the water has no mind to receive the shadow. So, meaning of life only comes from that place where you identify with the particular limits placed around you. You live around responding to different sights that appear to you, and you submerge the feeling of being in general. So, in truth, however, the meaning of life is just how you are being in the place where you're appearing. And so you just cannot find the being in the place where you search for it. We end up searching for meaning, but we follow one direction and we're taken in the opposite eventually.
So, I guess I should give the aha disclaimer, which I forgot to give at the top of the show. We don't listen to aha with our brains and our minds. You'll get an aneurysm or cramp.
Oh, my gosh.
We want to feel into this interview and just feel into the answer. So now, before we get to these questions, and you've just sort of led me to the next question that I have to ask, how do you know if you're awake or hypnotized?
Well, there's essentially two modes to experience. There's this world in which we have the substance of light itself, and it's appearing as everywhere outside oneself as the radiance and rhythm of life. You see, so there's, when we talk about the great being, whether it's God, the Tao, or the Holy Cow, C-H-A-O, when we're talking about that, we're talking about that nature, that divine nature that comes through the radiance and rhythm that appears to us. Now, we look at the world and we don't see radiance and rhythm. We don't directly perceive this so much as we encounter an experience of reflection where we find ourselves drawn into one direction or another, drawn into mind and emotion. A world of reflection where boundaries are the fundamental vehicle for our knowing ourselves. We know ourselves through our limits. We define ourselves through what we are not. We are Nicole because we are not an infinitude of other things. That's the world of boundaries. But then on the one level, you are Nicole because you, that which is Nicole is the light that is existence. And if we look at it in an individual sense, in a practical basis, what we're really talking about is that the place of the being in the in you and me, the one that's been the same at 2 and 92, I mean, that one is the witness that is really manifesting through breath and feeling attention. Based on what you're doing with your breath and with your feeling, moving life, then that pulls together these events and experiences that we witness and then identify. So the place of the real then is the place of the breathing and feeling movement of attention. And if you are aware of your breath at this moment, taking in the space around you, the collective activity of your loved ones that is embodied in the talisman of your body, when you take that energy and nourishment in and give it out again consciously, then you're awake to all the subtle shifts and options that you have to express yourself as a divinely multidimensional being. So that's it, you know. You're asleep if you're constantly looking at somewhere and just getting a reflection, looking some direction, getting some kind of emotional, mental response, and then reacting from that emotional, mental response, creating karma and action that narrows your relationship with that direction. So, I mean, and you'd have to be really at least partially awake then to know you were awake, or to know the question, you know, who is it that asked the question? Because in order to ask that question, you had to do one thing. You had to shorten your breath from really being taken in, and you had to stop your breath from going out at some point. So the only one that asks that question is the one that is a restriction of the being in motion that you are. So that's the thing. That's how you deal with that kind of thing. If someone were to come up to me and ask me that, just on the street, say. But yeah, I mean, you'd know if you were awake. Are you aware that you're taking in and giving out each moment? And to be so fully aware of that, that suddenly you drop out of being a container, and you just realize you are the very space, the very light that is passing through and creating all these objects, interrelated phenomena. You are the space that's passing through everything and shaping it moment to moment. You're not a container to be taking in or giving out, but you have to start to be aware of that basic exchange that you're making every moment with the world around you to be properly rooted in relationship and the love that is the nature of that prior condition of relationship. Prior, eh? Like always already the case. Everything is already in relationship with one another. mean, technically, we're at the deepest point of, you know, the F word. To we're at that deepest point already. We can never really find it in each other because that's where we're starting from. The moment we let go of one another, we've opened ourselves to feeling the deepest place of contact. It's like that intense attraction you have with another person. If you have that and then all of a sudden you just let go, then for a moment you're feeling the intensity of that true relationship between you and that.
Okay. There we go. That's where we're starting from today.
We better start these questions there.
We are starting them right now. First question comes to us from Kelly, no location. Kelly wants to know if we have really free will.
Oh, I mean, see, the thing is that free will is really non-existent apart from its opposite, determinism. Like, they're mutually happening together. So there's something that is in common between feeling that you're in perfect freedom to choose any direction you want and feeling that you're forced to. There's one thing in common, and that is the separate self. You have to stop, you have to have stopped already radiating out in all directions. Every moment you move, you radiate in all directions, and you're moving all the time. And once you stop that breath and feeling and narrow yourself down to one direction, you start feeling the pressure of choosing that one direction over all others. And so there is two aspects. Once you engage in any particular direction, there's like this one aspect where automatically you've chosen to go into a certain place or given attention to a particular person, and automatically you undergo changes and transformations of your energetic pattern from one direction to another, from one place of attention to another. And you can't really do anything about those changes. They are the determined pushes and pulls that stem from you having a history with the environment you're in now for eons of time, millions of years. You've been around this energy all around you. And so you have certain kinds of laws of appearance with whatever is happening around you. And so that you cannot change. But what you have free will is to decide how far you're going to engage that direction, how much you're going to take it in, breathe it in, and which direction you take. You can move your head in all directions, and you can breathe. And that's about the free will that we have. And if you follow that out, you come into a place where there is no question about anyone having free will or being pushed around, because of what you are, there is only that. Everything happening at once is what you are. So it's a game of call and response. You choose to go one direction, and then automatically you find that you're pushed into a world of response that you don't necessarily have a choice how to respond. So there you go.
So is there a way for us to intellectually somehow, without having an aneurysm, absorb really, you know, to really get it, that we're all that, you know, if we're everything and it's all now and we're radiating out in all directions,
yeah.
and you know, that's our true nature. How do we really get that?
Well, the thing is that as far as the attainment of spiritualization in one's human life, as far as the realization of the true nature in one's day-to-day life, I mean, there's no substitute for the conscious practice of feeling, breathing, alive each moment. See, that's going to have to, you're going to have to be drawn in to the place where you can take a breath and move freely on your own accord. I mean, that's what you need to do. That's the preliminary to feeling the all, because the place in you that breathes and the place in you that moves is the place in you that is limitless. The very acts that you appear as with the people that bring you out, I mean, those are all conditioned. Those are all time-based. So just like the certain language that reflects the culture that we have now and doesn't reflect a different culture, you are reflections of a time, an energy needed at this time, and a medicine. Each one of you is medicine, specially built for this time to provide the balance. Because in the end, existence is nothing but balanced ongoingness. And if you want to know about oneness, the only way in which there is oneness is the way in which movement is happening together. Every experience implies otherness. So if you want to know the truth of that oneness, you have to be feeling free to go, free to put your mind and its attention wherever it goes, and free to move the body from place to place and absorb the energies and nourishment of the life that's just unveiled to you. It's really a matter of where you want to stop taking in and exploring, where you want to sink into familiar comfort and create new possibilities. But for those of us who wish to go beyond creation and preservation and destruction, there's just no substitute like the free and going nature of that which breathes and that which moves. There's just no substitute. And if you take up spiritual practice, and all spiritual practices I've mentioned before are only practices involving breath and attention in the end anyway, if you take up that spiritual practice, a technique of any kind, you also fall into company of practitioners or people manifesting that new degree of power to which you are now functioning at through the virtue of the technique. And so, really, if you do the practice, you're going to attract to yourself environments that you couldn't have imagined yourself, but they support you in the largest possible way. And they bring you to a place of functionality and shining out that, you know, only they can bring. So, yeah, I mean, without having an aneurysm, you just have to take the next breath and give it out. But, see, I mean, if you can't consciously do that, then there will be love affairs and great creative moments to make you breathe. There's always something grabbing you in.
Okay, well, there we go with that. Next question comes from Sarah Lee, and it may or may not be related. Cheryl Lee asks, what is the best way to stay in and then open through the body?
Oh, well, I mean, essentially the body in truth that you are is the body of existence. Every single body is happening with every single other body in a magnificent organic whole. To limitlessness. I mean, there isn't any activity that isn't happening with all the rest. So essentially what we're trying to do is we're trying to incarnate ourselves through this constant entering into relationship. the way to enter into the body is to enter into relationship via attention and breath to any given possibility that presents itself to you. If you can consciously enter into any contact with person or place through the breathing and feeling attention, then automatically you will know that your body, your present bodily movement, includes not just the frame that people identify you with, but with these wider networks that are your actual body, to existence itself, to infinity. But you can only encounter a few of these places at once. If you are the limitless network of billions of galaxies as you're existing right now, you're only getting to encounter such a tiny few. And in fact, if there is such a thing as a soul, if there can be said to be a soul, then we'd have to say that it was a field of relationships that get manifest in focus with your arrival as a body. From the moment people give you energy and presence, you start attracting all the forces that are in your range, and it is vast. And so the body itself, when people talk about leaving their body, they're actually entering into the wider portion of their body. There is no leaving the body, because existence is the body of eternity, the God. Existence is the body of God, we could say. And so there is no coming in or going out. There's just one eternal body. And the difference, the only thing that you have in common now, thinking you are this small body, and then when you realize you're God, the one thing you have in common is that you'll still be breathing and still be moving your attention.
Okay. You know, I've got a question, actually, just because it happens to be happening now as we're talking. But the incidence of supposedly strange or inexplicable phenomenon, especially with anything to do with energy, seems to be, I mean, for compared to how many emails I used to get about it from others experiencing things, things seem to be like as though the veil is thinning, or, you know, I don't know how you want to put it. But, I mean, just now as we've been sitting, I always do backup recordings on our studio line, and my computer has changed time 3 times.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, it was 6:11 about a minute ago, and now it's something else, and it's happened about, you know, 3 times since we started this show today, and it's really almost, it's become so commonplace around me anyway that I just barely blink, you know, and then I thought, well, why is that? You know, why is are things shifting to the point where we can, it's almost like...
Well, I mean, it might have something to do with the... holes were blown through the ozone with all the nuclear bomb testing. I mean, just the consciousness itself, the space in which all these objects and planets and stars appear, is the same space in which our thoughts appear. And so if we have increasing pressure, you know, thin membranes of sensitivity between one person and their environment, if it gets so pressure-filled, then naturally the conscious field of differentiation, where you put a boundary between you and having one thought and another person having their thought, that also thins out. So you become subject to wider influences. And the thing is that because there's so much more energy and pressure in communication, it's dissolving the aura of each being, just as the aura of the earth is being dissolved slowly over time. And we are becoming gradually more atmospheric. And
what does that mean?
We are becoming gradually more connected to the wider space. in which the rest of the cosmos is happening in. Let's say the Earth's atmosphere gets smaller and thinner and thinner. Well, all of a sudden, that Earth is subject to the currents coming in from that wider space. Just so as the person relies less and less on ego and like conscious presentation of roles and ego, mind, desires, just the person begins to lessen that, they also realize that there's several beings whose activities are appearing as them. Like you are the present activity of all your loved ones. That's the part of you that appears. The party that makes it real, as appeared to any other dream, part of you that makes it important, that self of yours, I mean, that's forever. And it's the breath and it's the movement on the other side of the details that we celebrate and mourn as they come and go in our lives. I mean, so that's important to get, but the pressure of communication and movement, the more objects there are moving around, the more signals there are, the less boundary-oriented our awareness becomes. And we're just given over to our going, riding the currents that appear with us. And when we're living from that point of view, synchronicity is the rule, in which events just happen together in the same stream, as it were.
Wow. Okay.
I'm a conscious practitioner. Through every breath they take and every movement they make is constantly widening that sphere of contact, which manifests as that individual's truth.
All right. Well, on that note, a perfect segue, I guess, to the next question relating to fear. It comes from Jackie. We, let's see, we're asking here, what are we asking? I'm going to sort of paraphrase the first three points because there was a whole bunch in this email, but basically she's wanting to understand why there's evil in this existence and why, you know, they're bombing Iraq and they're doing, you know, the conspiracy behind 9/11 and all that kind of stuff. Why does all of that exist if we're all that?
Well, I mean, the fact is that existence itself is interrelatedness. And if you have a group of people that can commune with each other and live with each other, then they can use the resources that they're given. And so there's always some people that are just being exploited by reactive emotion and mind into breaking that relationship. So if a person's life is driven by this behavior of breaking relationships, then all they get to experience is the ending of their unity. You know, they constantly break every kind of connection they make after a while. And so it seems as if evil is happening to them because they only identify themselves with a certain character in that time and place, that person. And so when that person disappears or that energy calling them disappears, it always feels like evil because it means you're disappearing as an individual ego. And any kind of experience that reinforces that attention and, you know, gives you the sense of nourishment and fullness and continuity is going to then feed that ego as good. So fundamentally, it's out of an experience of either connectedness with our environment or disconnectedness with our environment. And on top of that basic disposition, we lay these judgments on experiences as to whether they're going to support our life or are they harming our life. It's absolute foolishness, though, from the divine point of view, because infinity is available to every center. There's absolutely nothing that, you know, when added or taken away to you, will ever change you. You're the same being. But unfortunately, we can get caught up with being a certain role, and anything that helps to make our little clique or our world survive is felt as good. But the fact remains, too, that here we are placed in each other's lives. So if we can actively connect and be in the same place with each other, then we can know good. And in that place, it doesn't make sense to do evil to other people. Rather, it makes more sense to be non-interfering. So evil has to do a lot with interference of exploiting a person by putting your expectations on them. And how to stop that? I mean, how do you stop living your life around the responses of other people? You decide to take the next breath and give the next one out. Now, whether that happens by someone falling in love with you or finding the right place to relax in, that's no matter. You can at any point consciously take in the next breath and give the next one out. And then all of a sudden, you'll be in a world beyond good and evil and into a peace that surpasses understanding. Okay, what are you going to do? But I mean, you got to understand that the people running the scene play out both sides of the wars. That, you know, you have a party, all these different political parties, but they're all belonging to these organizations like Bilderbergers and CFR. And so even though they're appearing on two different sides, they're actually belonging to the same camaraderie. But the case is, it's up to you, though, to live your life where you forgive the people that seem to offend you and start coming to terms with the fact that they are appearing in your world with you. And if you feel deep inside that you're not interfering, that you are good, then all you see is goodness around you. And there's an essential happiness that comes when you just totally relax into your own inherent beautiful nature, where you genuinely feel, anyone in your audience can find a place, I am sure, where they're like, man, I don't want to fucking do any interference to anyone. I just want to grow and explore who I am. But I mean, if they give way to that further, then they get into the place of the spirit, where they're just this going, happening existence.
So do they ignore the George Bushes and the Bilderberger?
No, by being and moving the one that they are, they impact the energetic resonance of the environments around them. And they will set up events, they will help be the energy to set up events of justice that come to these people that are causing so much pain. When you be yourself, you are able to enter into the place of balance and justice that expose the lopsidedness of a life built around fear. It's so lopsided. It's paying attention to only one set of restrictive behaviors. Your own behaviors, you see. But if you are free to move where you are now, the rest of existence will show you its inherent appropriateness for being around you. And Certainly. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life.
I think we'll move on to the next question.
Fair enough.
We could go on forever on each one of these points.
And I mean, evil is live, right?
Mm-hmm.
Evil is the other side of live. So obviously, you can't find what it is until you attempt to live your life. And then when you see what it is, you see that it's just one side of an eternal swing.
So I'm just looking at the rest of the next questions here. We haven't gotten to more of the personal ones.
It's good to keep with the universal.
Yeah.
Because there's such love that can manifest through turning the mind to widened ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are ideas. These are insights and points of view that don't necessarily favor one person getting a set of possibilities met. You see? It's like everyone can participate in this absolute perfect harmony that is, you know, really what I'm trying to communicate by all these answers. Because it is just this felt harmony that existence is that inspires me to give this to all you now in the audience. And it's really that simple. Right now you are doing the same thing. To whatever degree you're relaxing into the moment, you're able to pull in the wider and wider network that's existing as who you are, but it's just waiting there hiding. It's like you always think there's always something around the corner. Well, what's around the corner is where you've already come from.
Maybe we can do it this way. Why don't we address the issue in general of why, where this place is coming from, this asking place that
right.
Delivered all of these questions, because in a nutshell, we had a zillion emails coming in.
I'll bet.
Should I be moving? Should I be taking this job?
Yeah, and I can connect with any one of them and pull a card. That's no problem. It's just always so fun to turn your mind to the wider.
Well, I thought it would be neat to kind of address that the question in general as to why our inner guidance isn't connected in these places, right?
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, inner guidance is, like, really dependent on who's looking at you. You see, it's like, moment to moment, you're giving off this radiance in all directions. And there's no one there to experience it until someone returns that energy back to you. And as soon as they turn their attention back to you, you are automatically entering into a process of concentration and abstraction and limitation where you become like certain roles and you forget about others. You think about certain thoughts and you forget about others. You have habits of desire and you don't fulfill others. So you see, automatically, any sense of going anywhere, any direction, is coming from an event where your energy has been met by another and is being reflected back to you.
So is it the point of focus, the consciousness, the point of focus, is that it? Is that the everything?
Yeah, essentially the very light that sees your thoughts is comprised of every activity presently in infinity. Every single activity you see happening around you and all the other rooms of infinity, all that activity at once, amounts to that very light that sees your thoughts.
You know what we could do? I'm just looking. We've got about 7 minutes to the top of the hour.
Ah, 7 minutes. That's an aha moment.
And, well, the whole darn thing's been an aha moment.
This has been wonderful.
It's always wonderful having you on. And I'm thinking, you know, the how you do those interesting readings where until you pull the trump card, you know, where
yeah.
stop. Maybe we could just do one reading
sure, we
for
could.
Everyone, for the audience.
Sure, we could. This refers to the collective awakening of this particular group of people in the audience now. So you just tell me when, Nicole.
How about when?
All right. So the first thing is the real sweep of potentiality in this moment for everyone now listening to this. A real sweep of inspiration to be entrepreneurs, inspiration to start new ways of using your resources, to be your own boss, to give way to creative, fertile imagination of how you're going to pass your time here. So there's this spirit of the goddess, the earth of earth, of Gaia, sweeping over, inspiring us all to shine out as our own talents. So that is the first aspect of awakening. And interesting enough, the second card I pull also is of the suit of discs, the queen of discs. So it's really, the audience is going through a kind of personality shift relative to their attitude of the material world around them. Not only are they open to new creative ideas of using their resources, but also they are having a time where they can easily slip into the sense of being on vacation, where you've rested in past accomplishments, and everything you see around you is just the fruition of work being done in the past. You can actually fall into it and get it as you breathe into this collective listening event. And you see, there's another card here. This time we see the awakening is extended to the level of expansion of will, of drive outward into the world around you. And the audience finds that whatever direction they're drawn to go in, whether it be a person or a project, it connects them to a place where they can redress and rebalance any time or people in their past where they thought, you know, they disappeared too fast. Like incompletion, any moments of feeling not done with a person or place, they are being fulfilled and satisfied each time you enter into the world with intent. Now the audience can also get, here's another, three out of the four face cards of the suit of earth have come up now. We have the prince, which is, when you take stock of your resources and inventory around of your life, automatically you have these brainstorming ideas of how to organize them, like a blueprint drawn by an architect. So, very much this time, this moment that we've shared together is driven by shifting attitudes towards one material life, work, food, and sex. Now we have this Queen of Wands, which suggests that the way in which the energy in which to extend our lives is to be drawn upon by the emotions we have. And that we'll often encounter this feeling where our expanded life is getting too big and those energetic connections are too much. They're driving you to pressure. But there's ways of feeling and acknowledging your emotions so that as they are expressed, they provide the energy needed to move in your life at such a quickened pace. Goodness gracious, eh? We got a personality card this time of the air. The Princess of Swords is about destroying old moral codes, dissolving the tendency to judge this moment by some past standard. Seeing all the necessity involved in this. And finally, the collective awakening, the best way this audience can wake up to what they are and what's around them is through creative participation with their environment, where the process of art comes alive in their life And essentially the process of art is union of two tendencies in us. On the one hand, we have this nourishment and contact with the environment around us. And out of that nourishment, we have the energy to unfold creative possibilities in the world with the projecting side of us. So it's like every breath we take in and out is balancing the side of us that's, on the one hand, already at rest in the love network that we appear in the nourishing relationships that we're moving with, and on the other hand, is constantly looking out to create and communicate with new situations. So that is the force of art. And just all this audience needs to do to bring it about for themselves as a special gift in the moment is to take it in through each breath and pour out into the greater network that they are.
Now, we haven't hit a trump card yet, have we?
That was it, art.
Oh, that was it. Okay, that was a long-standing record broken there.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? And in general, the theme of the awakening for the audience is really one of awakening of the individual, where you are all right with the part of yourself that does nothing in any given situation, and you're all right with the part of yourself that acts. You're not in conflict with either side of whatever choice you choose as an individual.
All right, well, you know, right to time, there we go. We're at the top of the hour, and I hope all of you listening...
Have you given the website?
We are going to do that right now. Actually, do you have an event coming up?
Well, I have an event in Calgary happening this coming this next Friday. Not tomorrow, but next week Friday, the 19th, in Calgary. And that can be found on my website.
So there's that Sang events that you're getting kind of getting around now, getting up there.
That's right. Calgary, I just came back from Seattle, and I shall continuously work to be good company for my friends awakening in this strange time.
All right, ahashouse.com, that's where you go to find out about Ahas That Sang, and to hear the show again, and feel the show again. Newsforthesoul.com, all free all the time. And thank you so much, Aha. It was a pleasure, as always.
Absolutely, Nicole.
And thanks to all of you listening. Thanks to BBS. Thank you, Beth. Thank you for help with getting us on the air again. We'll be back on, I don't know when we're back. When are we back? Monday. And in the meantime, we've got another show tomorrow night, Friday night on Globe Talk, and Saturday in Contact and Talk Radio X. And we'll be back here Monday on BBS. In the meantime, you can find us at newsforthesoul.com. Thanks, everybody. All the best.
Wow.
Oops.